Hi, I'm Rigger J, and this is my geeky, kinky, techie audio blog. Musings, facts, more of a blog than a podcast, usually of adult topics, so if you are not of the age of majority, please stop listening. Also, if you're listening on Anchor FM, I'm doing these in segments, and the segments on the webpage don't automatically go to the next chapter. So if you're listening there, please go hit the next button. It won't autoplay. Anyway, thank you, and on to the episode.
Hey guys, it's June 22nd, and I am on a drive from Baltimore up to Boston. So today I want to talk about a bugaboo with teaching, possibly, you know, and also just something that would add some polish and improve your own teaching skills if you are someone who teaches rope. And what I want to talk about first is, actually the whole basic conversation is presumption of knowledge. One of the things, especially with kick classes, is that you can't, really vet or guarantee the back knowledge of your students, the level of expertise they may have. You list a class as expert level only, and you are going to get newbies. You are going to get brand new people, but also, even if they're not new and they are good at rope, you can't presume you know what their experiences around rope have been. And so I'm thought of a tutorial I recently watched. I've seen this happen in classes as well as on video tutorials. It's more egregious in videos, because there is no opportunity for someone to speak up. And what the problem is let's say I am teaching a form of a box tie, which is arms behind the back, holding your elbows, and doing, you know, two bands across the chest and other connective bits. So I'm standing up there, or not me, because I try not to do this, but the teacher goes, okay, so I am going to teach you a variation of the OS3TK, which was a variation based on something that Kanoko did, and then I put this other twist on it. Well, that is so full of jargon and name dropping that it's effectively useless information as it is. Because at this point, what would happen is then the instructor goes off and continues to teach their variation of a Takate Kote. And everyone in the class is not going, no one is going to, except for that very pedantic person, which might be me, would put their hand up and go, what's an OS3TK? Who's Hanejime Kanoko? And unless, so you have some options as an instructor. The first one is don't mention it at all. Did what you just say remotely add to the knowledge base of your students in a meaningful way? On its own, nope, didn't mean a damn thing. So unless you are willing to say, so OS3TK is Osada Steve's three-rope Takate Kote. Its structure is this, and show them one. Either tie it, pre-tied, show them a photo. And then mention, and, you know, Osada Steve is a German-born Japanese rope artist who does Japanese-style bondage and is primarily based out of Japan and had His senseis and teachers were some very famous Japanese riggers. Coming after him is Hijomi Kanoko, another Japanese rigger, and he took the Osada Steve style of the three-rope Tecate Cote and did blah, blah, blah. At least now, you have explained what this means. And if you haven't shown him what the three-rope TK looks like, still not the most useful, but at least you've kind of flushed out where all these terminologies and words come from. And it's important. What happens as you, in any technical skill set, there is jargon and grammar. And what happens is, as people move up in skill, they start picking up jargon and grammar. OS3TK is a simple form that was a fundamental Tecate Cote, box tie, arms behind back, grabbing elbows, that really kind of was the foundation of Japanese-style-looking chest harnesses in America. So, and Japan, etc. But unless you, we know this as someone who's been around for a long time, and what happens is that other, you start to presume people understand words. Munter hitch, half hitch, prussic knots, different types of ties, kanuki. What the hell's a kanuki? You will know it if you know what an OS3TK is and you know how to tie one, but if you're just somebody who's new and the person's saying, okay, now do a kanuki here, no fucking clue what you just said. And so we have to remember that our audience is not as passionate and deeply into these things yet, or at least are on the roadmap for it, and they're learning. That's why they're in your class. They won't interrupt and ask in most cases, because it's rude and just don't want to be in the spotlight, don't want to show, well, everyone else isn't asking, maybe I'm kind of the dumb one for not knowing. So, please, take an inventory of what you're teaching in your classes. What information do you want to give out? But take the time to make sure that the little fundamental pieces are, you're not presuming stuff, and that you may have to say something about them to cover it. One of the options I see that works well is the concept of a handout, but not a handout for the class, a handout like a glossary or at least some foundation pieces, so that you don't need to stop, but your students have the resources handy. This is, you know, I see this happen in in-person classes, but I see this also in videos, and it gets very frustrating. So someone will mention someone's particular technique or their own wording or a colloquialism for a knot, the half moon tie. Well, that's the one of the ways that you harness the ropes in the back of a Tecate Cote as it wraps around the body. And you can't really Google that very well. You can a little bit more today, but you couldn't like a year ago or 2 years ago or even 5 years ago. So if you're doing a video series, I strongly suggest find all these major pieces that you consider foundations and go do little bits on those. And that way, you can just say, hey, so this is a variation of the OS3TK, which is link over here to figure out what the hell an OS3TK is. We're going to do a munter hitch here. Over here is the details on how to do a munter hitch, and so on and so on and so on. And we actually have problems right down to fundamental grammar and dictionary type stuff when teaching rope. One of the ones that, you know, the errors start all the way back in a Rope 101 case. A bite. B-I-G-H-T. Well, what a bite is, for those that don't know, because I need to practice what I preach, it's a loop of rope. It's just it's a bit of slack pulled on a piece of rope in between the ends. And what that is, it looks like a bunny ear. You do them all the time when you're tying your shoes. You are pulling a bite and wrapping it off. That's the bow part, is the, you're pulling the bite through. Well, unfortunately, many, many rope instructors, because we do rope, Japanese-style rope is folded over in half, we call the middle of the rope the bite. Guess what? There is no the bite on rope. It's just a freaking loop of rope pulled that doesn't cross itself. So there's no twist. The middle of the rope, when you pick up a piece of rope by the middle and lift it in the air, is a bite. But not because it's the middle of the rope. I'm being very pedantic here. Why does this matter? Okay, well, I'll tell you. And that's, I corrected somebody who's a younger rope top, who teaches rope. Said, why does that matter? Well, here's why it matters. I pick up the middle of the rope, take that bite, and I tie a one-column tie around a... I start off doing the tecate kote. So my partner has their arms behind their backs, and I tie a single column of rope, which around the wrists, both wrists together, using the bite, run, wrap it around a few times, tuck, wrap, pull. Well, the middle of the rope is now locked off in the tie behind the arms. Then I take the length of rope that's left, and I start wrapping around the chest, and I come to some point, I need to do a half hitch, or a hitch of some sort. So what I say is, take a bite, pull a bite from behind that piece of rope you're crossing over, and then take your ends and pull it through. But wait, the bite's the halfway of rope. The halfway of rope is all the way down over there, that because we used, no, a bite is a loop of rope. So, the problem is that rope is a technical skill, and bite is a technical phrase that needs to be accurately conveyed, because if one teacher is teaching a bite's a half, incorrectly teaching that rope is a halfway point, that bite is a halfway point, then another teacher goes and uses the word bite, and people are confused. I don't understand. And they, you lose your students. So please, take the time to learn how to teach this stuff. There's a lot of people who are very good at rope. But just because you know how to do rope, it does not mean you know how to teach it. And hopefully this rant at this point, because I'm passionate about making sure people can learn rope, I hope this can help people be a little better at teaching rope. I have seen amazingly skilled, heavily, highly professional rope people poorly teach rope. And worse, they're highly regarded in the community, but they're not really good at teaching it. So, teaching rope has been a major passion of mine, because when I started, there was next to nothing in the way of instruction for rope. It was very hard to get any instruction. And the first form of the tecate kote I learned was so fundamentally wrong and even dangerous that it's sort of shocking. Anyway, thank you for listening. And as always, if you are listening on Anchor FM, you can actually leave me voicemail and ask me questions to see, you know, if you want to add something in or have me talk about something, you can go to anchor.fm/riggerj and you can leave me voicemails. And then I can incorporate those voicemail into my audio blogs. Also, you can get a hold of me on FetLife as RiggerJ, Twitter, RiggerJ_photo, Instagram, RiggerJ. You can even kick me, K-I-K. I can never say it right. I say keek, I say kick, whatever. I'm RiggerJ there also. So thank you for your time, and I hope everyone has a great weekend.